Hi, I'm Tamara Proteso of tamaraproteso.com, and this is an audio that I've made for you to help you plan and write a book you're proud of. In this audio, we're going to go through a rundown on what you need to think about and figure out and in what order so you can quickly get clear on your topic, plan your book, and get to the writing. These areas have some really common stumbling blocks that almost anyone who sits down to write a book encounters, and I will cover some tactics for not just getting past them, but also for harnessing them to make your book more powerful and more on target for your audience. Right now, let's start with the single most powerful concept that I know of to clarify your ideas, get you writing, and keep you writing. This is so key to the whole process of writing your book that if you don't know it or haven't thought about it, you are going to get stuck without a doubt. So, what is this key? Well, it's your reader. I know, right? Eye roll, you have heard it before and so have I. We hear this all the time. Know your reader so you can write to them, think of them, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? There is a reason for that. And that is because it works. I'd like to go a little deeper into the whole know your reader thing though, because knowing your reader has gifts to give you that go beyond the usual surface stuff if you look deep enough. They can clarify your topic and how you approach it. They can solidify your plan for your book. They can give you a reason for writing and an impetus to get your book finished and out into the world. And for all these reasons, I like to call the ideal reader for your book your most treasured reader. Or MTR. Finding the MTR for your book will uncover the hidden power source for your writing. Knowing them inside out will not only make your writing easier because you know just what they need, but it will also make sitting down to write easier because you will be writing for someone who needs what you have to say. You can call them just your reader if you choose, but I like the respecting the ancestors vibe of the title Most Treasured Reader better than plain old reader. Calling them most treasured acknowledges that they are both your ally in the dark and stormy sea of writing, an ally who will fight the waves of resistance for you, and also acknowledges that they are your precious friend, who you value above all others and would go the extra mile for. Thinking about your MTR is different to thinking about audience, because your MTR is specific and your audience is general. So when you think about your audience, it conjures up a sea of people, sometimes curious, interested people, sometimes critical, judgmental people. I'm telling you, the quickest way to get writer's paralysis is to have one eye on your audience. It is impossible to write when you're thinking of audience because there are so many people you're trying to please at once. I'm not saying that your writing should happen in an egotistical vacuum. I'm just saying that to facilitate both your ideas and your will to sit in that chair and write, you need to get detailed and get to know the exact person you're writing for. When you're writing your book, you need to focus in on the one person, and they can be an amalgamation of people you really like or clients you work with the best, and write just for them. So, how do you get to know your MTR? This is where the worksheet comes in. You need to look at the worksheet for the exercises in this audio. So either open that up and get a notebook so you can jot down answers or print it out and scribble away on it. You can also pause the audio when you're scribbling answers if you want to get yourself a bit more time. So just remember that throughout and do what you need to do. Firstly, let's get down to knowing your MTR. Look at what you feel drawn to doing. Why did you decide to write a book in the first place? Take a moment to answer that question. The answer to this defines the rest of the exercise, so really let yourself answer that truthfully. To be brutally honest, answering with, "But I need to write a book to be taken seriously in my niche and leverage my influence," is not a great starting place. Neither is, "My mum, my best friend, my partner thinks I should write a book." What you're after is the bigger why. What do you have to say that is unique to you and is burning to get out into the world? Why do you want to write this book? So get something written down to answer this question, then come back to the audio. Great. The next question that I'd like you to answer is, who will be helped by your book? This question is to get you out of the ego state of, "I'm writing a book," to the much more helpful state of I'm being of service, I'm being helpful to someone. What you have to offer people is your unique take on the world and your unique way of navigating it. See if you can write down a sentence about who will be helped by your book. Now the real fun starts. You can use these two notes you've just made to become clear on your most treasured reader, your MTR. Read them over again and get a feel for your inspiration, your why for writing your book, and your person who will be served by the writing of your book, the start of your MTR. Once you've read them through a couple of times, it's time to really focus on getting a heap more detailed and clear on your MTR. Keeping in mind your inspiration and your why, begin to form an idea of the one person who most embodies the people you want to reach and help. Let them take form for you. Your imagination is your best weapon here. See them as if they're slowly walking towards you and let them become more detailed as they approach. Take a really good look at them. What are they wearing? What's their height, build, hair and eye colour? What accessories do they have on? Do they carry a bag? What's in it? What shoes do they wear? Basically, here I'm asking you to get really detailed about this person who has approached you as the best person to help them. You are the unique voice on the planet that has what this reader needs to hear, so get to know them. Write down your description. And don't worry if it's a woman and you work with both women and men or vice versa. Your MTR will embody the characteristics that are common to all the people you work with, regardless of gender. Of course, if you do only work with men or only with women, I'd expect your MTR to reflect that too. Take a bit of time about this one. Remember, you can pause this audio to get the detail that you need noted down. Once you've written your description of your reader, it's time to get even more connected to them. Begin to ask them what motivates them. What is their greatest fear or challenge? What do they most want help with? What would change in their lives if they had that help? And the most important question of all to ask them, what do you know and can write about that would help them the most? I'm going to repeat that one because it really goes to the heart of why you're writing this book and what will make it the best book you can write. What do you know and can write about that would help your MTR the most? Go with your gut on this one. There should be a persistent idea that just won't go away that you can write down. It could be your original idea, the one that you started this audio with, or it could have morphed and changed a bit in the development of your most treasured reader. Whatever it is, just write it down in its entirety because you can develop and hone it later. Excellent. This means you've found your MTR and also used them to help you get to the kernel of why you're writing and what you need to write to best serve them. And this is the best thing about knowing your MTR for your book project. It gets you out of the way and makes writing your book an act of service rather than an act of ego. By making writing a giving exercise, whether that's giving because you're creating clarity for your MTR or whether it's teaching them something, you sweep perfectionism out the door. Because if you don't write what you need to write, then your MTR will be left with nothing to help them. Keeping the focus firmly on giving with your writing means that you feel the urgency of needing to get this out into the world. You won't procrastinate on actually getting it out there and seen because you know it's needed. And you know it's needed because your MTR tells you so. Some of you might be listening to this and thinking, but Tamara, this is a fictional, made-up person. I can't write to them and it won't help me. This is just not true. I have done this with many, many clients. What you need to do is remember that the world is made up of billions of people. Now, that is a big number, so we'll go a little smaller. Chances are you're already being useful to quite a crowd of people. They found you and hired you and now rely on you for whatever it is that you do for them. And you can picture some of them, if I ask you to. And if you need to think of your ideal client, you can. If you're lucky, they'll be an actual person that you've worked with that was just the best possible person for you to be working with ever. That is the feeling that we're going for with your MTR. You're looking to write to the one person who is going to be overjoyed that you've written this book and who will find it so ultra helpful that they can't believe their luck at having found it. And they're also a truly believable version of every great client you've ever had and enjoyed working with. This is why having your MTR helps. Knowing that this person needs you and how they need you and why will help you enormously as you write your book. Basically, your most treasured reader is there to bring you back on course if you feel off. A lot of the time you can feel a little off in your writing without knowing why, and reconnecting with your MTR will help you get back on track and make the writing easier. So, the second step to writing a book you're proud of is to make a plan. If you're writing non-fiction and you need to help people, you need to get all of your ideas out of your head and put them into some kind of order to write from. I know this can be a bit daunting, but your plan will be much easier to make now that you know your MTR and have spent a little bit of time defining them for yourself. An in-depth exploration of planning is available for you in my ebook called Plan It, Your Book Step by Step, that you can download for free as part of this Three Simple Steps to a Book You're Proud Of workshop. I'll just go through the main points about planning your book here too, though, because reinforcement is a good thing. So, to planning your book. Needless to say, I recommend getting nice and cozy with your MTR at this point. Know them, know what they want and need. Know what they fear and know what you know that they want. This is the crux of your book, so get intimate with it. The next step is to figure out what kind of a plan will suit you and be most effective for you. The key to planning is staying engaged. To engage your brain and keep it interested, you need to have a few things going on. You need to make whatever you're doing interesting in as many ways as possible. For this reason, at the very least, you should consider using coloured pens or markers, stickers if you have them, and colourful post-it notes or colourful paper. The actual method you use to plan can also have a bearing on how engaged your brain stays and how much creativity you can juice from it. There's much more on this in the ebook, so make some time to read through that when you can. Think about the kind of person you are and how you normally get things done, and you will usually find your planning style. If you're a list maker and like ticking things off in an ordered and linear fashion, then be conscious of that. You're most likely to make a plan that looks like a list with chapter or section headings, subheadings beneath those to remind you of what else goes in there, and progressing through from intro to chapters to conclusion in a line. If you're making a list-type plan, just make sure to leave plenty of space between the items for inserting other items when they occur to you, or resign yourself to rewriting your plan over and over until it feels right. As I mentioned before, using coloured pens and stickers can make a linear plan feel more creative too, which will bring you more inspiration. If your mind works in a more associative fashion, jumping from subject to subject, making intuitive leaps, and then going back to add more onto the first idea, you may want to explore creating a mind map plan of your book. To do this, get a ginormous piece of paper and write or draw your idea in the middle. You may even want to draw in your MTR. Then draw a branch per main idea off the central theme and label them with one main idea per branch. Your next tier of ideas become branches off the main branches and so on. The key with a mind map is to express yourself visually. So use one word or a very short phrase per branch with visual cues to help your brain stay active. The third kind of plan that I recommend is the post-it plan, and it's for those of us who have a stash of post-it notes lying about in drawers in your house. Get out all the post-it notes that you have and write one item or idea per post-it note. Then group them in themes or chapters, playing with it until you feel it's right. One thing I do recommend here is that you take a photo of it when you've got it right so that household accidents like small children or animals or random Hoover events don't eradicate your hard work. The best bit about the post-it plan is that you get to shuffle it around as you go to accommodate new thinking really easily. It's also a very tactile way to plan, so if you know that you're a tactile person, this may be the way to go. The last way of planning is a little more chaotic and random, and it's an amalgamation of the plans I've outlined above. I call it the all-in plan, and it's for those of us who collect bits and pieces and scribble notes on napkins and tiny bits of paper with one word on, or little objects that remind us of something. When it all adds up, it makes the plan. I usually advise clients who work with me and want to plan in this way to get a corkboard for this kind of plan so that everything can be pinned up on it. A shoebox also works too because it keeps all of the disparate bits together, but it's usually a little harder to get everything out and pack it away again when they want to write. So a corkboard's a very visual way of keeping track of what you're doing, and it's also very practical. So what you need to do now is choose a planning method, tick it off on your worksheet, and then make a time in your calendar to make a plan. You'll need to block off 20 minutes to start your plan and see how you go after that time. If you're feeling good, then keep on working on your plan. If you need to stop and make a further time, then do that. Keep being nice to yourself as you go, and you'll find you're more willing to work on your plan and on your book. The final thing you need to do with your plan is to build in revision times. This is how you keep your plan flexible and relevant to your book. As you write, your thinking will develop and change, which is a good thing, and it moves your writing forward. If you notice that you've strayed from your plan, that's fine. Just make a little time to explore whether that's a tangent that can be mined for more material and whether it's relevant. Remember to use the lens of your MTR to assess whether what you're writing is useful and what they need to know. So your final planning action is to make time to review your plan. Either do it when you're tempted by a tangent, or write time into your calendar to do it. I'd recommend at least once a month to start with. And finally, the third step to getting a book you're proud of is actually getting it written. No one is proud to have a dusty draft sitting in their drawer, but that moment when your book is unboxed and is in your hands ready to send out to your MTR, that is what you're writing for. So how do you get it done? First up, the only real answer to this is get your butt in the chair and write. Secondly, there are many, many ways to convince yourself to do just that. One of the most effective is to keep your focus firmly on your MTR and do it for them. This way you are not being indulgent when you sit down to write, because that's what quite a lot of us think we are. What you're doing is being of service and helping someone. Most people don't want to let another person down, so you can leverage this to coerce yourself into getting to the writing of your book. When it's hard, stop, refocus on your most treasured reader and your why, and then see if the writing's easier. The trick to getting your writing going strong is to cultivate habits that help. Habits that help range from creating non-negotiable writing time in your schedule and sticking to it regardless of what else is going on in your life, to getting yourself some accountability so that you stick with it. The main concept behind most writing habit advice is the idea of commitment. It's commitment that makes your calendared writing time non-negotiable, and commitment that makes accountability work. And the best way I know of being committed to a project is by setting your sights firmly on your MTR and committing to them that you're going to get this book out there to help them. On your worksheet, there's a timeline with the numbers from 1 to 10. If 1 was, I don't care at all, and 10 was, I must do this, it's not an option not to, choose a number right now that represents getting your book written. Look at the number you've chosen. If it's a 9 or a 10, then you're pretty high on the commitment scale and you have a really good chance that you'll commit to writing your book and just do it regardless of what else life throws at you. If you're between a 1 and a 5, you may want to reassess why you think writing a book is for you. It takes a hell of a lot of commitment to write a book, and a score between 1 and 5 won't get you through on its own. If you're writing because someone else thinks it's a great idea, then that's not going to hold you up when the going gets tough. Have a think about whether another medium might be the best platform for your project rather than a book. Explore your options. Maybe your topic's a bit off or not crystallized enough for you to get excited about. You really need to have that passion burning in you or you'll peter out. And if you scored yourself between 6 and 8, you're almost there, but you're being held back for some reason. It's important to know what that reason is. If it's something you can and would change in order to write the book, then your caution's commendable but misplaced. For example, if you're worried about how much time you have to give to the writing and that's why you scored lower, then that's fine. If you imagine just writing for even 20 minutes a day, how does that feel? Is it easier? Can you apply the same thinking to whatever barrier you've identified? If yes, then score yourself again, knowing that you're in control of the parameters. If, however, you're still about a 7, I'm going to ask you what's holding you back. What makes you want to write a book so much but is holding you back from committing to it? Is it fear? Most writers I know and work with have fears that they have to overcome to write their books. It's just a normal state of affairs for writers. There's the oldie but goodie of just not being good enough, the fear that everyone secretly thinks your book's a bunch of bollocks. Sometimes it's just paralysis that something they've created is going to be out in the world for anyone to see. Whatever the fear is, take some time to identify it and write it in the space under the timeline where I've written it out for you. What I fear most about writing my book is... fill in the blank. Write as many fears as you like in there. Just get them out. Once you've done that, look them over. What I want you to do now is imagine that your best friend has come to you and said that they want to write a book, but confess they're too scared. And when you ask why, they give you the list you just wrote out. Read their fears. What would you tell them? Would you tell them to just give up because the fears are real and right? Or would you help them try to see a way past those and find a way to feel safe but get the writing done anyway? See if you can be your own best friend and find ways to make it feel not as fearful to write. The first thing I usually tell clients is to make a folder on their computer that's password protected. And then I tell them to save all their files into that. This way, no one can get a look at what they've written before you're ready. Privacy is an important thing for the incubation of ideas in a safe space. And the final thing I'm going to say is, getting and keeping a firm grip on your MTR will help with the fear too. Knowing your most treasured reader and knowing how much they need you will cut through your fear and get you to the keyboard. Because no matter how fearful you are, you'd go that extra mile for your favourite client. In the space I've given you, write down a couple of steps you can do to get through that fear. And if you have trouble thinking of some, begin with imagining what your best friend would tell you. And remember to write down connecting with your MTR as one of the steps. I know I've gone on about this a lot here, but it really is the key to the whole shebang. Once you really get this, your writing will be so much easier. So, there you have them, the three simple steps to writing a book you're proud of. I hope this has been a help to you as you get to the planning and writing of your book, and that it helps you get clear on your most treasured reader. Because I've got clear on mine, and it's you. I care that you want to write a book but feel doubtful and afraid, and I want to help. I'm Tamara Protasso of tamaraprotasso.com, and I help people write books they're proud of. Drop by my website or email me, tamara@tamaraprotasso.com, if you'd like to connect. Thanks so much for working through this audio and worksheet. Now, go and plan your book and get to the writing. There is someone out there who desperately needs what you've got to say.